Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
This is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you were too afraid to ask.
Wow, you really took my notes from last week, eh?
On the whole drive over here, I was like, I'm going to be happy today. I'm not going to say it monotone. Because I did listen back to last week's episode, which, by the way, chef's kiss, I loved. Incredible episode.
Yeah, great content.
And I did, you know, acknowledge that, yes, I'm sounding very monotone at the beginning, and I know it's some people's first introduction to us, which if it is, welcome. And also, please remember to leave us 5 stars.
Only.
Only 5 stars.
Yeah, and if you can only count to 4, you're not for this podcast.
You're not welcome. We welcome all except people that give less than
exactly.
5 stars.
And this week's topic is social media influencers. Mm-hmm. Which is great because we don't have one in the closet today. Just 2 followerless losers.
The shade. Okay. Well, thank you for that. That was sweet. You're always
welcome.
Building me up here.
Absolutely.
I really, you know, I actually, why I started this podcast and why I continue it is
the positivity.
Yeah. How I leave feeling better than I came.
Yeah.
No, but actually, that's true. I do have a lot of fucking fun here. Before we get started talking about this, though, since we are talking about influencers, I think it's very important that we plug ourselves.
Yes.
Which, in turn, is very important that you listen to these plugs and you follow them.
If we are good influencers.
So please head over to Instagram and follow us at I Can Explain Podcast, and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. Head over to TikTok, follow at Brianne Williamson _. Do you want me to start plugging your TikTok, or are you keeping it at low key?
I don't have one.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I have one just to like things.
Okay, well, fine. Everyone go try and find Sean. And maybe he'll launch his TikTok career.
Probably not.
And as I mentioned earlier, leave us a review wherever you're listening. Please follow or subscribe. It really helps us out. And share this with your friends and family. And if you share it on social media, please tag us so we can repost. And thank you very much for your support.
Wow. Great intro. Very influential.
Yes. Trying to be.
So we were kind of talking. First, I'm just going to put a disclaimer. That my building does this nice thing that they decide that they should leaf blow, which Bree thought I said leave blow, like they were just leaving little packs of blow around, which would be much better than what they're actually doing. Leaf blow, mow the lawn, weed whack, mm-hmm. paint. Work on cars, like they do all that shit in one day, and today is the day. So if you hear motion and commotion, oh, and then usually when they do that, the baby that lives below me, that makes it sound like they have their own apartment.
The
baby bachelor that lives below me. The baby that lives below me usually starts crying at that, so
right.
We're really walking on eggshells today.
Walking on bags of blow.
Yeah. Yeah, so just that.
You know what's a really good song? Walking on broken glass. That one hits different when you like.
Walking on bags of blow. Yeah, I love it. You know what is an even better song? Casca Fuck.
Okay, so last night, Sean and I went with a few friends to a socially distant drag show. And this was very exciting because, as everyone in the world knows, COVID-19 is happening and we have not been able to do social activities like go to gay bars or queer events. Obviously, Pride, same thing. We didn't get to really have a Pride weekend where we would usually be going to these events and the parade and all that good stuff. So we were all super excited for it because it's just like it felt so good to be back in a queer space watching someone queer, which is drag. And it was a really good time. But one of the performers was Scarlett Bobo, who I have seen perform live before and has been amazing every time.
Yeah.
Incredible performer. So if you watch Canada's Drag Race, you've seen her on there. And she's now in the, what, top 5 or 6?
Yeah, I think 5 now.
5? Yeah. So she's doing really well. But yeah, just a shout out to her because she is an amazing performer in person too. If you've ever seen her, you know that. But last night she was performing and she spiced it up for all of us because she performed her new hit single,
Casca Fuck.
Casca Fuck.
Casca what?
Casca Fuck.
Casca Fuck.
And when I tell you that it was an iconic performance, Oh my God. Like, the audience was screaming back the lyrics. I highly recommend that you go stream on Spotify. And thank you so much for Scarlet Bobo sponsoring this podcast. I'm just kidding.
We were talking about how Keskafuck, and now if you are a TikTok user, you would hopefully be aware of the other hit single, Mi Pawn. Mi Pawn, Zoo, as it goes.
Yeah,
as it,
yeah.
And they're really both competing for Song of the Summer currently.
Honestly. So. We're going to put a poll on the Instagram page at I Can Explain. Song of the Summer, Keskafuck.
Or Mi Pawn,
No, but honestly, it is iconic. I can't get it out of my head. And all of our friends have been, like, singing it all day. And Scarlett, if you ever hear this, we need merch.
Yeah.
We absolutely need merch.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Scarlett.
So, talking about merch.
Yeah, talking about merch and influencers. I mean, anyone who goes on a reality TV show kind of gets transitioned into being an influencer. And today kind of what we wanted to talk about is the influencer space in general, but more specifically how that's different for queer folks being an influencer. Because I think that, you know, there's all these different niches that people have followings for. And I do feel like there are certain niches that are easier to be an influencer for. In some sense, everything has its thing, right? So, for example, I can empathize with the fact that if you were a fashion influencer, you might have a tougher time with body positivity or body shaming because it's all about the clothes you're wearing in your body and posting body pictures and all this stuff. And, like, if you're a beauty influencer, it's a lot about your look. So I'm not taking away and saying that any niche is going to have certain amounts of backlash, but I also think that certain types of content is inherently non-political.
Right, absolutely.
And also, like, non-controversial to a certain extent. Like, if your thing is, you know, you're the sweater girl on Instagram who always, you know, matches sweaters with different looks.
You found my alternate page.
Sean sweaters.
Yeah.
Then you, like, I feel like it would be very hard for someone to nitpick the way that you are representing sweaters.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing too deep about sweaters. But as soon as you are an LGBTQ plus influencer, just being LGBTQ plus is an out, is a political statement within itself.
Yeah.
Just being you and living as your authentic truth is brave. It's taking a stand. It's, you know, that for some people it's controversial. You know that some people are going to disagree with who you are. So just being you as any human being that's out and queer is a lot. Anyone who's queer knows that. But then you add to it that you have a platform and the person that you are is inherently controversial to a certain extent. And it adds all these different layers of, while you're trying to do good by creating representation, you are opening yourself up with every new follower for potential backlash.
Yeah.
And you're also, like, we've talked about on this podcast a couple episodes ago, internalized homophobia. Like, I think any queer person would lie to a certain extent of saying that they don't have any form of internalized homophobia. So acknowledging that, as a LGBTQ plus influencer, you're saying, okay, I'm already being out and proud, but then I'm going to add to it. I'm going to be out and proud to, like, the world. And I'm going to publicly talk about all these really intimate things, like coming out and my experiences with, like, family and friends and relationships and all these different layers. And then you are opening yourself up to certain backlash that may trigger internalized homophobia.
Our fave.
Which is, like, It's a lot. It's a lot different than certain other niches. And I think a lot of people, because of that, because it's such an important topic, put LGBTQ plus influencers on a higher pedestal of having to be perfect.
Yep.
Than they would sweater girl on its
track. Exactly. I think there's also the danger, and we've talked about this before, and we try to drive home the point that our podcast, even in a small chunk of social media, I guess, is it social media? It's media. Anyways, our podcast is a small chunk of that. And we try to say as often as possible that we are only two people. We are white. We are not the voice of all people in the community.
Yes.
We say that all the time. But then we've also said that having a queer podcast, you almost are as well, or yeah. people will assume that you are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a hard thing, I think, like with these experiences, because if you are talking about your queer experience mm-hmm. to help others, you're not necessarily saying that this is the experience that everyone has, mm-hmm. but it's almost taken that way in a weird yeah. way, you know? I don't know. There's so many, like, more layers to it, I think.
Totally. And I think that as much as we acknowledge that we do not speak for the LGBTQ plus community, it's also obvious to us that a lot of people listening may only listen to our podcast, despite the fact that we suggest that you listen to other amazing podcasts out there. There's BTT podcasts that you can look up on Instagram, Bad Queers podcast, to name a couple. But some people, you know, they find one they like, and we appreciate you listening. So there's also a certain amount of responsibility, because it's like, if they're only going to get, I was about to say, information.
Would you rather lick a bag of toenails?
But you know what I mean? If they're only going to get representation from one place, we yeah. have to take it seriously, obviously, that we are doing our best, despite not being the voice for an entire community, obviously. It's just still, like, if we are the one voice that someone is hearing, you want that to be the...
A decent one.
A decent opinion that's, yeah. like, you know, that's helpful to everyone in the community.
Which
as best
we are unable to provide.
Honestly, it's tough. It is. And no matter what you say, like, because the topic is so deep and because the niche is so deep, there's always going to be people that disagree.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And I think there... I'm not going to give every fucking queer influencer an out currently.
Yeah.
But I do think a good chunk of queer influencers, not all of them, I can think of a lot right now that aren't.
Yeah.
But a good chunk of them came to get a following because they had coming out stories. They yeah. had that content that people felt they could relate to, mm-hmm. and that is why they have a following.
Yeah.
So inherently, I think a good chunk of queer influencers do have a decent perspective. There are a lot that don't.
Yeah.
Once again, there is not an out on that, but I would say more so, mm-hmm. they do have a decent perspective.
Yeah.
Then general influencers.
Yes.
Like, there are so many people that should not have any influence.
Oh my God.
And I feel like that is a good chunk of influencers.
Oh,
the Jake Pauls, the Tuna Mongooses, mm-hmm. all of these people.
Yeah.
And I think this is coming to a boiling point.
Yeah.
It has been for fucking race issues and all these other things
yeah.
that are dotted into their lives. But like with COVID,
oh,
it's been so apparent
bad.
That these people should not have a voice because people yeah. will listen to it.
It's so privileged and irresponsible the way
yeah.
that so many influencers are acting. And it makes me like really angry because at the end of the day, a lot of these influencers, and I'm speaking more like bigger influencers here's a good way to divide it. I'm speaking to influencers that's their full-time job.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think a lot of times what happens when your full-time job is something like creating content is, at a certain point with a certain amount of followers, it becomes difficult to relate back to how it would be if you had, you know, a standard job and all these different obstacles that regular people have to move through in life. When you're being told every day how awesome you are and how pretty you are, and you get paid to hold up a bottle of Coca-Cola in an Instagram picture while
you saw
traveling.
My last
yeah,
post.
I saw it with a nice sweater in that
Thank
one.
You.
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
Really matched the Coke bottle.
yeah. While like on a sailboat in Greece and etc. I am not saying that it's not work. Okay. Like I do both. I have a more standard career, and then I also do the whole influencer gig. It is work. I want to validate that because a lot of people roll their eyes and say like, oh, it's so easy and whatever. You get to see the little pre-package to the end. When people are making content, and I'm speaking to unfortunately, a minority of influencers that I really respect. It takes a lot of time and preparation. They're trying to make things that are actually going to like benefit the world, whether that's making someone laugh or change the world, change a perspective, help somebody. I've been on brand trips before. The whole time you're focused on getting content. You're in a beautiful place. Yes, it's awesome. But you have to check 800 boxes of making sure you got photos of this, content of this, everything. It really is like you're creating like a travel show doc or something. Like you have this list of all these points you have to hit. So yes, I'm not saying that it's like, oh, woe is me. I just wanted to acknowledge that I do think it's a real job. And I do think that people that, there's a lot of people that I really respect how they use their platforms and how they do that job. And they work really damn hard to do a really good job of being an influencer. Then there's the other side of things of these people. And I find it kind of correlates with people that get big followings really fast because they don't understand the grind of it. I've noticed that personally. There's the people that, you know, had a bit of a slower climb, some faster than others, but they understand the work you have to put in. And then there's like the, you know, I hate throwing out a name, but on my IGTV series, Sipper Spill with Jade Fox last night, we were talking about this influencer, Emma Chamberlain's of the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything bad about Emma Chamberlain particularly, but this is a good non-controversial, I'd say, that I know of, example of someone who I don't think is a bad person, but literally overnight blew up.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's the kind of person that she can literally post a TikTok just standing there, does nothing, no value to the content, in my opinion, and gets like 3 million views. So with those types of people that are super young, have never had to have a full-time regular job, have never had to go through a certain level of schooling or like worry about paying for education, worry about their future, all these life struggles, like you're 18, all of a sudden you have all this money, all these people telling you you're so wonderful, you really aren't relatable. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of them, the problem is they try and still be relatable, but it's like you have millions and millions of dollars at 18.
Yeah.
And you live in a mansion in LA and you have no real worries, like when it comes to actually surviving life.
Well, I also think that is the danger of your, I mean, I fucking love TikTok as well. Me pon su 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 su. But I think that is the danger of your favorite app, is that it has a trajectory currently that is far beyond even Instagram in its heyday.
Oh,
like the amount of followers that people can get overnight is
crazy.
Unheard of.
Yeah,
it's actually crazy. Unheard of.
Yeah.
Like people will go from being no one, nothing. Not as like they have no worth, but
meaning follower
piece
count
of shit,
wise.
Garbage, ugliness. Yeah, follower wise, 100 followers.
Yeah,
to millions.
They'll wake up the next day and have 3 million because one of their videos went viral.
Exactly, and then they all get together in these houses, hype house, all teen houses. So they're just surrounded by people their age with the same opinions who are
brands are
rich,
throwing money at them.
Brands are making it rain. Mm-hmm. It's like These are the people that young people are turning to get their content, but then also to get their understanding of the world.
Totally.
And it's like, fuck. And then with COVID, they keep having all these fucking parties.
Oh God,
and it's like, first of all, you have the responsibility as an influencer to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. God damn it. Show yourself wearing a fucking mask, distance, stay in your bubble. Mm-hmm. They're not doing any of this shit. And then speaking to the states specifically, it's like you have so much money that if you get sick, it won't ruin you probably.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll go to the hospital, you'll pay your bill, like COVID will suck for you, like it's terrible.
Yeah.
But so many people watching your videos and your TikToks don't have that money. If they get sick, it'll like ruin their whole fucking family and life for years.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's so frustrating.
It's just coming from such a place of privilege and it's such a shame because I feel like it's just, there's no other way to put it. It's so self-centered and privileged.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, oh, well, I have 3 million followers, so I guess that means I'm allowed to have a 300-person house party.
Yeah.
I think it's the poor people that should just stay home.
Yeah,
or the people
you guys
with,
are
like,
doing
no
good
following.
Work in, like, the poor places.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
I've got to work on this TikTok dance with 300 of my closest friends in my backyard. And it's so irresponsible and gross and disgusting. And like the fact that there's just no awareness, but it also shows with these legit children how no one is telling them no.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the classic, like, young celebrity problem that they always go off the rails because all these people are making so much money off of these kids. Like, they really are like products at that point.
Yeah.
When someone has like 10 million TikTok followers, the amount of money they have from brands, like, I can't even tell you. Like, I'll tell you straight up, because I don't have a problem talking about money in the sense to give you in a relative way. When I do an Instagram post, I probably make $2,000. That's with about 50,000 followers.
Right.
Now imagine someone with 10 million.
Yeah.
Imagine
it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for one picture or one TikTok. And you're 18 and your management and your whole whatever is getting cuts of that. So they don't tell you no because
no.
They want you to keep making this content. They want you to just keep being your 18-year-old self. And because at the end of the day, you are their income.
Yeah.
And it's like such a dangerous like formula. And they are around all these other kids that also don't have to work. Also don't have to worry about
left
life.
Their homes. And a lot of the time, weirdly, as we've seen with fucking like Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and all these people, like they leave their families, but a lot of the time their families are just going to exploit them as well.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You became a product to your family.
Oh yeah. They're paying for their families' lives and everything else. So it's like, it's just really crazy. And once again, it's not to knock everyone because I don't think it's not the case for everyone. Like there's a lot of people. I think if you are supporting someone on social media, the question that I always ask myself is, what are they giving to the world?
Yeah.
Like, if you can answer that question for anyone you follow and you think it's more positive than it is negative, then that's fine. Even if it's someone who's making you laugh. I'm not saying that they have to, like, be, like, talking politics or talking about queer issues and stuff. I think they should. Honestly, I think anyone with a platform should. But if it's something that you go every day and you watch their videos and they make you laugh and it feels good, then, yeah, great. But if it's you're watching it because it's drama and they're doing all this stuff, like, why are we supporting those people? It's honestly such a shame to me because, honestly, the reason that most of these people have followers is because they're good looking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially since I think it's more obvious than ever because people used to argue, yeah, they're good looking, but I also like their personality. I also like this, blah, blah. With TikToks, you can't tell.
Are you getting a personality?
Are
they dancing to me, Ponce?
They're not, they're not anything. They're not putting any effort into their content. Like,
exactly.
They're literally just standing there, half-assed doing a dance, and they have, like, 70 million, 50 million, 20 million, like, crazy numbers of followers.
Well, I think an example of that for me, and these are two people in the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
But I recently unfollowed Jeffree Star and Nikita Dragon.
Right.
Both gave me like being icons. She was giving me like amazing looks and drama and, you know, all this stuff. And Jeffree Star does the same, has great makeup. I have some of his makeup. But all this shit coming out about them, like blackfishing, blatant racism, having COVID parties.
Yeah.
It's like there's no accountability. And obviously, I know that me unfollowing them does literally nothing because they are amassing so many followers still.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so frustrating to see these people with so much power. Also in our community, once again, I'm putting them on a higher pedestal. But it's just so frustrating and disheartening.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, you know what? This is the end of my road for you.
And I think this has been like really a year of awareness for a lot of people about that.
Listen, Kylie said like 2018 was the year of realization, but she was a few years off.
2020 is the year of realizing things, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that that's fine. Like, I did an edit, too. Like, I looked through everyone that I was following and asked myself why I'm following them and if their content actually makes me feel good or, like, what is it adding to my day? Because social media can also be a big problem for mental health. Like,
yeah. You did miss the cut on me as well, by the way. I did have to cut you. I didn't like what you were posting.
Yeah,
that was the answer. That's totally fair.
But yeah, if you're looking at your feed every day and like people are making you feel like shit, even if it's just from a place of like they're making you feel bad about yourself or your body, like in you're comparing yourself, like that is necessarily not on them. But you just have to make sure that, like, what your feed is showing you is something that's going to add you value in some way, I think.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you have to understand that at the end of the day, like, your follows, likes, engagement is what gives these people power yeah. and money.
And influence.
And influence. So, like, you have to remember that by promoting or supporting their content, you are supporting what they're putting out into the world. So yeah. if they're putting out stuff that you do not agree with, whether it's, you know, racism, hate, they're not speaking out on important issues, even though they have these huge platforms. And but you're like, ah, but they dance cute.
Yeah.
It's like, ask yourself, like, do you really think that that's good for you to be supporting that platform where you could take your energy somewhere else to engage with the content? Because ask any influencer, I'll tell you, like, it's all about engagement.
Yeah.
You know, comments, likes. And that's why on the flip side of things, if there are people that you really enjoy or you think that they're doing really awesome things or making you laugh, support them. You don't have to, like, pay money for their merch or pay money for content or send them money or whatever it is. Like, share their content, like their content, comment on it, send it to a friend. Like, all of that has so much value.
Yeah.
And when you realize that you have value, I think people are starting to become more aware of that and then in turn being more careful with the type of content that they support and interact with.
Yeah.
I know I am. Because, like, I used to be, like, same with Jeffree Star, like, that's a recent one for me. And, like, for ages, I would watch all of Jeffree Star's stuff and, like it and send it to friends and everything else. And that's just one example. But there was, like, quite a few that I had to kind of clear off because I'm, like, I don't feel good about promoting this platform.
Yeah.
Even if it's just me, like, you know, like, Jeffree Star, trust me, is not crying in his 8,000 bedroom mansion that I unfollowed him. But
on his throne of Pomeranian.
But if everyone starts thinking that way about influencers in general, I think it will make a change in being more careful about who is getting these platforms.
Well, I think it's the same. Sorry, I cut you off.
No.
I think it's the same as voting.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
There is that mentality, and I find myself doing it as well, that I'm just one vote. I'm just one person. I'm just one consumer. What does it mean? But yeah. also, like, especially with being a consumer, like, one person adds up.
Yeah.
If a lot of people are saying, I don't like what you're doing, mm-hmm. you need to change, like, eventually, if a lot of people are like, I'm just one person. Well, now you're a group of single people.
Yes.
And that alone has power in itself. So,
hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention. And it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Something else that I think personally needs to stop is giving like have the same energy for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I have realized that people that speak out on important topics and kind of put themselves out there to try and like make change in the world, people judge them harder.
Yeah.
Because when they do slip up, people are like, well, you're supposed to be this person who you preach about all this stuff, you believe all this stuff, but then you're not perfect. So, like, that's annoying to me. So I get that, because I can see, like, if for example, an easy way to put it is if your platform was about being vegan, okay?
Right.
And if everything
not,
you posted...
Not yet, but it is on its way.
In the works, yeah. If everything you posted about was about being vegan, and then one day you ate... fucking, I don't know, piece of cheese.
Okay.
Let's say, I don't know why you ate a piece of cheese. You ate a piece of cheese. And that photo got put on the internet. Okay. And your whole thing's about being vegan. You best believe everyone's going to come for you because you preach about being vegan all the time. And then you ate, even though you've only eaten one piece of cheese in your life, you ate that piece of cheese.
Yeah.
Whereas those same people that would come for that vegan might also follow people that eat cheeseburgers every day on their stories. But just because they've never said anything about animal rights or being vegan, they don't get come for.
Right.
So it's like as soon as you...
They don't get came on.
Yeah. No one comes on them. Yeah. But it's like as soon as you say that you support something or believe something,
yeah,
it's almost dangerous, which is unfortunate because cancel culture is so like scary that some people are afraid to speak out about certain things because then they feel like they're expected to be perfect in that area. And I think that's a problem. I think that there's a difference between holding people accountable and expecting people to be perfect.
Yeah.
And that's why I think cancel culture can be dangerous. Because on the flip side of things, like the example of the burgers, I'm just gonna fucking say it. Okay, Lundy. It's been a whole thing in the lesbian world.
I was like, 29 minutes and 50 seconds. I was wondering how long it would take.
Okay, so a recent one that if you don't know, if you are LGBTQ, specifically you identify as a woman, even
listen,
more specifically.
If you don't know who Lundy is, count yourself blessed.
Honestly, that's the thing. But you've probably heard at this point about all the drama. So I'll sum it up for you really quick. Lundy is the cheeseburger eater example of LGBTQ plus rights, meaning she never speaks out about LGBTQ plus rights. She never speaks out about politics. She never speaks out about racial issues. She really uses her platform for pretty much nothing below surface level content.
Yeah.
It's photos of her.
Tongue inside a mouth,
trying to poke out of her cheek.
Inside of mouth, like her tongue is inside of her mouth.
In and pushing out. It's doing the thing where when I was like in grade 9, people in my school used to do where they'd pretend they were sucking a penis.
Yeah.
And they would like pretend to be holding a penis and then jam their tongue against the side of your mouth. That's apparently her go-to pose.
Yeah.
So those types of photos. And, you know, a lot of party pictures, really nothing of honestly
substance. A lot of, like, drinking in the back of cars, like,
yeah.
A lot of, like, concerning.
Questionable, concerning stuff, considering her following is very young and very large. So I have had a problem with this for a long time. I'm not saying that everyone has to talk out about everything. I'm not saying that that is an obligation for everybody, and people have different viewpoints on that. But I do think that if you are benefiting off of a largely young and LGBTQ plus audience, and you have this huge platform that has afforded you the lifestyle to not have to work, to just get to party with your friends every day and do a few posts, like I think she has like 300,000 on Instagram and like a million on TikTok and all these things, you have this privilege, you are white, and you have an opportunity to use that platform in even the smallest, laziest way.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while, just sprinkle in a message of any sort of value. Honestly,
yeah.
Like it doesn't take a lot. Okay. I'm not saying that you have to be like
Mother Teresa.
Yeah. Leading the parade, leading the march. Like,
yeah.
Just be at it. Okay. Every once in a while, show
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And she wasn't doing that. And obviously, in this year where there was a lot of movements that surfaced that were very long overdue and necessary, something that people that were following her were noticing was that she hadn't spoken out at all about the Black Lives Matter movement.
I mean, even further than that, she had some So that was
it.
Issues.
So that, yeah. So at first it was that she had not spoken out. Yeah. And then she like got called out for doing that for like 2 weeks, not saying shit. And then she did some half-ass, like one Instagram story, like, oh, whoops, forgot to post. So trust me, I've been meaning to.
She was literally like, I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that literally was my like, dad. Wow, I've been traveling. I've been like swimming or something. I don't know what the fuck she said. and
sorry, I really got my tongue stuck in the side of my mouth for a while there.
And yeah, and she didn't say anything. And then it came out all these videos of her doing like really disturbing racist shitty things, like all across the board. You know, there were slurs, derogatory comments, racist jokes, like the list goes on.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was a one-off. Like, it was very clearly there. You can make quite a large folder out of it. Okay. And then she came back clearly once again, having done zero to learn or grow, because if she had, she would know the first thing that you don't do when you're talking about racial issues is say, I know black people.
Yeah. So I've dated a black person.
Yeah. So her, instead of apologizing, her thing was, if you actually knew me, you'd know I'm not racist because I dated a black girl. What? Like, so you're not even apologizing. If you actually knew me, so you're like putting it on people like, oh, you guys just don't know me.
Yeah.
Like,
you didn't do the work to see past my plethora of racist acts.
Like, what the fuck? So everyone came for her for like 2 weeks. And by everyone came for her, I mean her following count didn't go down.
It also went up.
It went up.
Because this is what pissed me off.
Yes.
Her following count went up because people were talking about her.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Everywhere.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
So her name was getting
everywhere.
Out there to people that hadn't heard of her before.
Yeah.
So they were finding her profile
but
and being like,
supporting.
This is a attractive lesbian and following. And it's like, if somebody's name is on Twitter trending, maybe do a little bit of research.
Also, the reason you got to that profile that you think is hot is because people were talking about how racist she's been.
Yeah,
so...
but they were like, she is a hot racist, though.
like
fuck me.
Honestly, so this is what Keska I mean by Keska fuck, honestly. So anyways, she has since made like one other post of like, oh, I spoke too soon, some other bullshit apology, and then waited like 3 days, and then now has just gone back to consistent posting of her tongue in the mouth, you know, showing her stomach on a different beach bar every day, Florida style. Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Like, it never happened. Mm-hmm. All the comments, all it is about how hot she is. Everyone's liking
Rinse
it.
Rinse and repeat.
Honestly, like it never happened.
Yeah.
And what pisses me off, first and foremost, is that how fucked up that is. As someone who... Oh, I just can't even imagine being... Like, I'm a white person and I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine being a person of color... seeing how little the LGBTQ plus community has shown up for them.
Yeah.
Because this person being blatantly racist, you still think that you should follow and support them because you're privileged. They haven't offended you.
Exactly.
So you as a white person get to say, but I think she's hot.
I accept that apology.
So I'm just going to accept that apology.
It's not yours to accept.
and not support my fellow LGBTQ plus community members that are people of color that are saying this person is not okay.
Who we have a fucking community because of.
Honestly. So it's just like the whole thing is fucking disturbing to me. I'm over it. I'm honestly sickened by it. And that's just like one very recent prominent example. And the reason that I bring that all up is obviously for the message of the importance of putting like your support in places that you're supporting people that you actually believe in what they believe. But also because I think it's important to mention that on the flip side of things, there are plenty of my friends that are LGBTQ plus influencers that I think if they said even one of the 100 things that Lundy has said or done, one time their career would be over because they're the types of people that speak out about issues weekly, if not daily.
You're bringing it back to the cheeseburger.
I'm bringing it back to the vegans.
Yes.
Okay. So meaning
it's all your fault, vegans, myself included.
Honestly. So if they even once said something, even somewhat along those lines, it would be a shitstorm.
Yeah.
No one would ever let it go. No one would ever collab with them again. No one would ever hang out with them. Brands wouldn't work with them. They'd be donezo. But because people don't put Lendi or other influencers like that, she's one of many, on that pedestal because she's never given them anything fucking good to put them on the pedestal for, she gets a pass because they're like, oh, she's just like that. She just doesn't understand. She doesn't know. Well, I'm sick of people getting the pass because they're ignorant.
Yeah.
Like, the information is out there. Fucking grow up.
Exactly.
And then there's everyone on the other side that's trying to do all this work and trying to change the world and trying to use their platforms. And they do things that are nowhere near, like, I'm not saying that they've even said one racist thing, but they'll have one slip up, like eating one bite of cheese.
Yeah.
And they're canceled.
I mean, like, accountability is good for everybody. Absolutely. But also, you're right, same energy is very important.
I think it's just, that's what it comes down to. I'm not saying that you shouldn't call these people out when they make mistakes.
Yeah.
One mistake or 1,000 mistakes, call it out. I completely agree with everyone should be held accountable. But what I'm saying is, like, you need to have that same energy across the board. It needs to stop where people with influencers are like, oh, but they're just not that kind of influencer. Also, they don't know about
also
that.
Calling somebody out is incredibly important, I think. Mm-hmm. Part of cancel culture, I think, is important.
Yeah.
However, the part I don't agree with is it's not necessarily calling them out. It's, in my opinion, somebody might have a differing opinion than me. It's once called out, how do they address it?
Yes.
How do they move forward? Are they worthy of a second chance?
Yeah.
Was this a slip up or is this their life? You know,
yeah.
I think there are layers to it.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
I will say that I was bringing this back to TikTok boys. Mm-hmm. I knew that we were in for some danger because when I was in high school, the big thing to do was to have man bangs.
Okay.
And I feel like I was my most confused and shadiest person. Well, not shady in, like, words, but just, like, most confused, least influence worthy.
Okay.
When I had man boy bangs.
Right.
And so to see all of these TikTok boys being so popular and still having man boy bangs.
Yeah.
I just knew if I can't see your forehead, I don't trust you.
I don't trust your opinions on the
world.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Thank you.
So I think that's another important note for our listeners.
Yeah.
If someone has man boy bangs, probably
move them out of the way because there might be something racist underneath.
I also want to make a point in saying that I have a couple names left on my mind, but I'm done name dropping. I've done a lot. I've dug myself a deep grave on this episode. I am so fucking sick of these influencers traveling.
Oh, yeah, tea.
Because, and I've just got to say it. It's one thing to travel. Okay, I'm not saying it's okay at all, but it's one thing to travel secretly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And literally be like, okay, I think it's safe for me to travel.
Yes.
And I am going to choose to do that with my own safety procedures and social distancing that I have approved for myself and my local government says that I'm allowed to do X, Y, Z. And doing that on the lowdown and following the guidelines of your local government, whatever. I think that there is a huge problem with having an international audience of all sorts of ages that you know you influence and not only doing something that is inherently, like, not necessary right now, absolutely not, but also making it, like, clout and, like, obnoxiously posting about it because you have to be so self-centered and in your own world to not think about the fact that while you might decide it's okay for you in your local area, all these you're telling all of these people watching you that you think it's okay to just get on a plane and fly wherever the fuck you want right now and travel all over the place. And I don't care how hard you try and social distance. You ain't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Especially, like, if you're going somewhere and then traveling around said place.
And like going all over the place and experiencing all the, like, tourist destinations and everything else. It's like,
Keska fuck,
honestly, Keska fuck. Because I don't understand how you would think it's responsible to promote that type of behavior. Like, that's the biggest issue for me. Not only people find out that you're traveling, but literally doing it as like promotable content,
yeah.
I think is just like, I think that there's a really big problem, and it comes down to like privilege and like honestly just not being relatable and understanding like what certain people are going through right now. Like there's so many people that are literally scared. They've lost family members. Like
they've lost their jobs, family members.
The government,
like, there's like fucking like 30 million people unemployed in the States. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. The government is clawing at ways to try and convince young people to stay home,
yeah,
not travel.
They're literally recruiting fucking Seth Rogen and Ryan Reynolds.
Like, literally. I had an email last week from one of the local provincial BC health officials asking me, hey, as someone who lives here and is an influencer, how can we get this message across to young people that they shouldn't be going to parties, that, yeah, they shouldn't be gathering in big groups. Like, we are clearly missing the mark and we need all the help we can get. So I like engaged with them in like some ideas. But how frustrating is it that there's so many people trying to do that work and trying to portray that message? And then you have other people being like, woo, look at me, I'm going all over the place. And it's like, hope you read the fine print that you should only do this if you're in this area and doing this and all this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, people who follow you are clicking through 800 stories a day,
yeah,
and they're quickly seeing that you're traveling and having fun and acting like nothing fucking is going on in the world. And it pisses me off. Like, honestly, it's so out of touch of what's happening.
I also just think that in a pandemic,
yeah,
the government should not have to reach out to people to see how they can convince young people to stay inside with influencers. Like,
honestly.
And my two notes on travel are, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And also, just because some international borders were opened, they were still opened, if you read the not so fine print,
yeah,
it actually came right after when they were announced, they were still opened for essential travel, which means travel that is essential.
Like, I'm talking, there's people that can't see their family members right now,
yeah,
like you said, people lost jobs, like health issues, like the world is a fucking disaster and it's just so out of touch. And I think that is the problem. That's why, honestly, influencers get a fucking bad rep,
yeah,
because people are like, how are we supposed to relate to you or like appreciate you when you are so like thinking that you get to like break the rules or be above other people just,
yeah,
because like you have like a certain amount of followers.
And Greece and Paris and Italy, mm, will all be there after this.
Yeah.
We just have to get to that point.
Together, honestly.
Yeah.
So I know this seemed like a lot of hate today. Am I sorry? No, because
just
I
go back to listen to.
Just go back to last week when we talked about licking toenails. Yeah. Honestly, like if you want a lighter vibe, that was
we
it.
We like to switch it up.
We
though.
Do
a little heavy, a little light.
Yeah, and sometimes like I leave our heavier episodes, and I feel like, oh, should we have kept it lighter? But you know what? I think that is touching on what we talked about today. I think it would be irresponsible of us
to just keep it light.
To just keep it light all the time and not use our platform every once in a while to try and like sit each other down, hold each other accountable, and also put a message out there that says, listen, we're in a fucking pandemic. There's also some amazingly necessary movements going on.
Yeah.
And if you have any sort of platform, I don't care if it's 5 people or 5 million people, you need to be asking yourself, what are you doing to make a change for the world? And also, who are you supporting and what are they doing?
Keska fuck are you doing for the world?
Keska fuck. Also, go stream Keska, yeah, fuck, because honestly,
song of the summer.
Incredible song, especially if you're a Greater Vancouver local, because,
yeah,
there are some little hidden local moments.
Yeah. Song of the summer for staying in your apartment with your group and,
yes,
wearing a mask when you go outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also want to acknowledge that Sean and I are so far from perfect.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So we are definitely not sitting here and being like, oh, we're perfect. So look at all these people that are not. Everyone is adjusting every day. And I think speaking to what Sean said earlier about it's less about what people do in some cases and more about how people change and adjust and are willing to grow. And I think that both of us have plenty of mistakes and we will continue to make mistakes. But we are open to being held accountable and we're open to being to learning and adjusting.
Always willing to grow.
Always willing to grow. So,
because I think there's an issue when you say that there is no room for growth in someone. There's always room for growth.
Oh, there's always room.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you, our listeners, for holding us accountable. I know we kind of called some people out and held them accountable today. Whoops. But not, you know, it's important. We got to do it sometimes. Next week, we'll be back to licking toenails.
Yeah.
Wherever you're listening, please follow or subscribe. Also, make sure to give us a rating. 5 stars only.
Oh, please.
Honestly, we're definitely
gonna hold us accountable, but give us 5 stars.
Yeah, we're definitely getting 1 star from Lundy on this one, for sure. She's pissed.
Yeah.
What else can you do for us? You can follow us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. I'm excited when it's not hot as fuck in here.
I see.